just asking, that's why we were talking, and I'm just asking, I felt like it was fitting to do right now in the beginning rather than the end. So Todd's just going to share what he saw and heard in his heart. So I'm going to share a little more in the word. Go ahead.
Amen. Yeah. Wow. How are y'all doing? Good? I love you all. I told him there's this thing that's burning on my heart. And I was coming up and God gave me something in the car. And my wife like looked at me and I'm like, oh, it's so good when God ties stuff together. It's really good. I was on my face and I saw these big letters. And it said, whose puppet are you? And I saw this big, black, decrepit hand in the houses of Christians. And they got out of bed. They came downstairs, wiped away the sleepy stuff. And before they went out of the house, instead of grabbing their coat, they'd slip on this hand. And I saw this hand that was bright. It was shining bright. It was the hand of Jesus. And I saw it standing there alone because no one wanted to put it on. This word is so important. The manifestation of the Spirit and the healing, that's awesome. But unless this word gets in your heart, you'll live as a mere man. You'll live as just a man or a woman. When you came to Christ, you gave up that right completely. You have one right, and that right is to manifest Jesus. Every day, everywhere you go, you no longer have the right to be just a mere man because you're not. You're a man or a woman that walks with God. Whose puppet are you? It's real. It's real important. Can I share a couple of scriptures that go? Is it okay? This is so important that we get this. Look, I was a drug addict for 22 years, right? And I thought as a mere man, and I lived in the world and I crushed everything around me and I put that black hand on every day, not knowing it. And I was a freight train for the kingdom of hell and I destroyed every life around me. Every life. Anybody that I touched was darkened. Why? Because I was the black cloud, the black sheep of the family. I was demonic and didn't even know it. You have the most important thing in the world. You have the Word of God. We put more emphasis on how we feel. We put more emphasis on how we feel today. Well, how you doing today? Well, you know, I'm just getting by, brother. You don't have a right to just get by anymore. You live, the King lives in you. The hand of God wants you to slip him on. Jesus was the incarnation. He was the incarnation. He was a man filled with God that flowed with God everywhere he went. You are an incarnation. You are God putting on flesh. That hand flowing through you. When people look in your eyes, do they see light or do they see that darkness? I know this is a heavy word. It's eating me up. I'm like, this word is just, it's swallowing me. Go to Matthew 16, please. Am I all right? You're not for sale. Say it. I'm not for sale. I've been purchased with the blood of Jesus. I no longer belong to myself. Or the world. I belong to the King of Kings. The Lord of Glory. and he lives in me. You got to get that. God, we got to get that. There needs to be more Christian manifestation of Christ in us in the marketplace. There needs to be more manifestation of Christ in us at the gas station. For real. It's who are we living for? What hand did you put on? What puppet are you? Whose puppet are you? It's so imperative. Oh my God, please help me. In 13, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi and he asked his disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Jesus said this, and it's so good. He said, but who do you say that I am? Come on. We're not asking for the world's opinion of who he is. Who do you guys say he is? When you wake up in the morning, who is he to you? Is he just a savior that one day you're going to hopefully get to heaven? Or is he the Lord and master of your life? Do you look to him for everything? Or do you look to the world for guidance? This is so important. Look, Gordy said about reading the paper. When we read the paper and we see all the stuff, I don't even read the paper anymore. Why? How much good stuff do you see? Even the weather. Come on. It's just serious, right? Look, you got to know what you fill your mind with, you become. What you fill your soul. David said, bless the Lord, all my soul. Bless the Lord, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. What's your soul? Your mind, will, and emotions. This. Your soul is your thinking cap, right? The teachers, put on your thinking cap. Christ says, put on your thinking cap as long as it's renewed by my word. Because if you think other than that and apart from that, you're thinking demonically. You're not thinking Christ-like. Putting on the hand of light means you live for him and everything that he says you are. Everything. You're not just a mere man anymore. You gave up that right. Or are we truly born again? If you're born again, you're born out of something and born into something. The old person can't exist. You don't have two separate lives. This is so important. This isn't like a dual identity. Your sin nature has been crushed. The word caps it off. Without the word to renew this stuff, you still think as a mere man and you can't go on that way. Satan's destroying us for a lack of what we don't know. It's killing us. This is so important. So he says, who do you say that I am? Because he didn't want to know the world's opinion. He wants to know who you say that he is. Is he the Lord? Is he your Lord? Lord means leader of everything. Everything. It doesn't mean, Lord, am I supposed to have peanut butter or tuna? Doesn't mean that. It means I'm going to live for you every day, every second of my day. I've given up the right to live as a mere man because I've come to you and I've come with everything I am. And I'm going to live for you. And you can teach me through your word. Holy Spirit, help me. Look, I would still think the way I thought. 22 years of addiction crushes everything. And he came in me and he ripped that stuff out. He ripped it out. Look, you can go and have a ministry. You can go and do good things. But if you don't get this word in you and it doesn't transform you and work from the inside out and crush everything that doesn't belong there, you're just waiting to get plowed because he's coming. The devil is just, he creeps, he prowls like a roaring lion, looking to whom he can devour. But he can't devour you when you're grounded and your heart is booming with the word. When you turn your back on the word and think that you know it all, you're done. Finished. It's not about theology. It's about relationship. Amen. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You've received from Daddy. Wow, Simon, way to go, way to hear. That's awesome. This is what we need. Because when we get in the Word, it's not just about what we see on a page. It's about what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. It's about how he takes the Word and flowers it. It's about how that seed enters into your heart and produces 30, 60, 100 fold. Because your heart is good and the pure in heart shall see God. It's so important because it's all about the Word in you coming to fruition. And Jesus said to him, he said, I say to you, you are Peter. And on this rock, the rock is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealed word of God. What God has said through his word, that's where he's going to build the church on. The revelation of Jesus Christ. I'll build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he commanded his disciples they should tell nobody. Then from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You who just heard from God a second ago, get behind me, Satan. For you have in mind the things of not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Your mind is not full of the things of God. Your soul is not full of God yet. He said, get behind me, Satan, because you have your mind full of the man thoughts, of the thoughts of a mere man. When you've come to Christ, you've given up every right to think as a mere man. Every right. And the only right you have is to think of a man that walks, think as a man that walks with God, filled with God, and allowing his word to come forth because it's alive and active. It's sharper than anything. It will cut away the trash like nothing else in the whole universe will. It's alive. That word comes in and transforms you. It judges the thoughts and intents of your heart. Everything that's in your heart that's not of God, God takes his word and he clips it and he prunes it because it doesn't bear fruit. And every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he clips and prunes. God, clip away. That's how we need to start every day. Clip away today, God. Anything that doesn't belong, I'm asking you to shake what needs shaken and break what needs broken. But my God, have your way in me. You've made me in your image. Help me see who I am and who you are in me. Satan's not after you. He's after your identity. And he's after you to never believe what God says. Unbelief is a huge sin. It's the first sin in the garden. I talked to him, Pastor Dan, about the other day. In the garden, when he said, did God say? What did Satan get him to do? Question God's word. That's what he's doing today. Did God say everybody will be healed? These signs shall follow those that believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Parentheses. Well, only if it's God's will. Come on. That's not God. That's our own experience. We need to get away from our experience because when Peter got his own thoughts involved and put parentheses in there, so to speak, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You who just heard from God, you're thinking like a man. Now get behind me. Do you hear that? He said it. Go to 2 Corinthians. Am I all right? This is so burning. 2 Corinthians 10. The soul is so important. In Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what God's will is. He's telling you that you have to know what God's will is because you have to know what it is to prove it. And as we look at the life of Jesus, we understand that everything in Jesus' life was the exact will of God. Everything. Nothing, no holds barred. See, Jesus only did what he saw the Father do and only said what he heard the Father say. So everything he did, he was the visible image of the invisible God. So everything he did was exactly what God would do. Exactly what God was doing because Jesus was the incarnation of God. He was God in the flesh, came down, the Word made flesh, dwelt among us. And now since we see the pattern in lifestyle and understand what Jesus was like, we understand what the perfect will of God is. So anything outside of that, that our experience is brought in is not the will of God. God's will is what Jesus' life was. So if we pray for somebody and don't see it bow, we can't say, well, it's not the will of God to heal them. No, if Jesus was here, would they be? Where does he live? Right. So we need to understand who we are. Man, I cried out to him this week. I'm like, God, I just need more of you because there's stuff. Like, look at Dale. Dale's in the chair and it ought not be. It ought not be. Because if Jesus walked up to Dale, bang, that thing will be smote right away. No questions asked. Where does the Christ live in us? Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? So since Christ lives in us, the revelation of Christ intensifies and the understanding of who we are in him and who he is in us intensifies. That stuff's got to go. More, more, more. We can't settle for just some healed. We need to see all healed, just like Jesus saw, because we're to walk just as he walked, as a man that walks with God, as a woman that walks with God. Nicodemus said, nobody can do the things that you do unless God be with him. Nobody can do the things that we're doing unless God be with us. It's called the renewing of our mind, and we need this so much. Our souls are trashed because of the old thought life. That's it. If you think as a mere man, you're thinking demonically. I'm telling you, Jesus said to Peter, blessed are you, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father, now you're thinking with the mind of God, with the thoughts of God. God revealed this to you. Peter, a couple sentences later, no, Lord. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, because your mind is full of the things of man and not the things of God. Is this making sense? Here's a heavy word. Practical atheism fills the church. Not theologically, because we all believe. We're believers, right? Believe that Jesus is real. If you have, let's say you have a, who here has a neighbor that's not born again? Okay. Who here has a neighbor that's gone through struggles and stuff? Okay. Let's say you have a neighbor that is doing something and let's say financially, it's an easy example. They're going through financial struggles and he does everything in his own power to make that thing right. Now let's say that you get hit with something similar, exactly the same thing. If you handle things the same way he did as a non-believer, you're practicing practical atheism. Are you hearing me? If we handle things on the same perspective that he handled them, we're thinking as a mere man. Oh, man, we got to get this. Oh, man, this is like gripping me. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Where's your thoughts flow through? Your soul, right? So our weapons aren't carnal. They're not of the world. Our weapons are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Bringing every thought captive. Every thought that flows through here, bringing it captive to the obedience of Christ, to the knowledge of who we are in him and who he is in us. If we don't use that, we're not doing what God said. And it's so important because he's saying, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Where do the strongholds exist? Right here. Well, how do we deal with it? We cast down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought that you possibly can have. When you're going to the grocery store and you see people that are hurting, are you walking right by them thinking as a mere man just trying to get your shopping done? Come on. This is challenging stuff. I'm not being mean. Please hear this. This was God's original plan for you. He made you in his image to manifest Jesus. We're being transformed back into the same original image that he created us in to begin with. And we all behold as in a mirror, beholding the glory of the Lord, because he lives in you. When you look in a mirror, you see yourself beholding the glory of the Lord, being transformed back into the same image, moving from glory to glory to glory to glory. Glory to glory. I deliver ice. Right? Most of you know that. I was at a beer distributor. I was delivering ice, and a beer guy, a Heineken delivery guy, was there. And I went in to deliver, and I'm just taking stuff by, and I see him. And I pulled in, and he kind of looked at me like, oh, man, he's going to park in my way. So I got out, and he just kind of shook his head. And I went past him, and I started talking to him a little bit. And here he helped me out. He got a forklift, took some ice off the truck, and just helped me out. And we got to the end, and I said, man, I need to help you. He said, oh. I said, all right. I said, well, look, I said, do you have something physically going on in your knees, in your back? I said, what's going on? He goes, well, he goes, no. He goes, why? I said, I just need to know. He said, well, my knee. I said, man, I said, look, I'd like to pray for you, man. He just looked at me like I was crazy. Because he's thinking like a mere man. But I'm not. I'm thinking like God wants me to think. And this is just the tip of it. This is nowhere near where I need to be. Nowhere near where I need to be. This is just the tip of it. I'm just a fringe. Just the fringe of his garment, man. It's like so much more. I read these stories about these men and women of God, and I'm like, oh my God. There's a book called Mega Shift that there's testimonies in there that you can't even read. They're just, it's just, the dead are being raised in 53 countries right now. Come on. People's limbs are growing back. Eyeballs are being formed in the sockets. God, help me. This is our inheritance. This one God, one Christ, one Holy Spirit, one baptism. It's mine. It's yours. If you'd step up and say, God, renew this so I think like you, not as a mere man anymore. Because when we think as a mere man, we're thinking, if we think of the wisdom of the world, we're thinking demonically. We're not thinking God-like. Well, it seems right, but there's a way that seems right to a man. In the end, there's destruction. So I said to him, and he said, well, yeah, my right knee. I said, well, give it to me, man. He goes, what? I said, come on, man. And he gave me his knee and prayed for him. His knee got healed. And he got off the thing, and he goes, man, there's still a little bit of pain in the back. I said, come on, let's get that thing. And bang, did it again. And he's like, oh, my gosh. He goes, that's amazing. He goes, it's gone. I said, yeah, man. I said, Jesus loves you. And I preached the gospel to him for about 5 minutes, just shared truth with him and loved on him. And he's just looking at me like, man. And he told me how his wife told me how his wife got custody of the kids because she's religious too. Now watch. He just threw that in, but I had to share and explain to him. If you don't see Christ in a person, you don't want what they have. So lots of people have been hurt by people that say they go to church, but God never said, I want you to just go to church. He said, I want you to be the church. He said, you're his body. You're his hands and his feet. You're his representative. You're the one that represents God. You are. Everything. God, look, Jesus, they thought it was worthy to give up everything, to go bankrupt just to get you back and fill you with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Christianity started on the day of Pentecost. Yeah, because there's a Holy Ghost that whoom, came down to make you just like Jesus. So that people could see Christ in you. Could want what you have. Could be drawn to the light. Where's the light? Jesus said, I am the light, now you're the light. Didn't he? Didn't he say that? Yeah. You are the light. So this guy, I preached the gospel to him and shared with him. I said, I just loved on him, you know. And he's like, man, thanks a lot. I said, man, bless you. Went back, sat in my truck. And I'm pulling out. And he's like, hey! And he ran up to the side of the truck. He jumped up on the side door. And he goes, dude. I go, what, man? He spoke my language. And I said to him, what's up? He goes, I got to tell you this because this is burning in my heart. He said, you know, a couple days ago, you know, I prayed. I said, wow, man, you prayed? He said, yeah. He goes, I asked God to show me a sign. Now watch this. He said, you're that sign, man. I said, look, these signs follow me because I believe and they want to follow you. I said, look, and I explained to him how when you get born again, you don't just pray a quick prayer and go and say, I'm going to go to church now. It ain't about that. We got too many people in the world that just go to church. Come on, it ain't about that. It's about getting your mind renewed. It's about getting your soul into a place where your carnal mind doesn't have control over you anymore. Where God has control, where he can move for you and flow for you. You are the body. Why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? Do you hear that? That's a good chorus, man. That blows me away. We need to think like God thinks. Well, how do we know what he's thinking? I mean, who can know the mind of God? We take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ Jesus, because the weapons of our warfare aren't of the world. They're not in a bunch of growth books. I gotta say that again. They are not in a bunch of growth books. The words that the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God. We have God's word that's mighty to pull down every stronghold and every thought that would rise itself up against the knowledge of God. It's so imperative. If you don't get in this, your mind never gets renewed. You'll live as a Christian, possibly a 007 Christian, afraid that you might offend somebody with what you do believe. But the more God's word gets in you, the more boldness God puts upon you. You don't care who you talk to, because they need what you have and you know it. And the confidence that you have comes from his word being grown in you, producing 30, 60, 100 fold. And then the weapons of your warfare are mighty to pull down every stronghold among you. And then beer guys run up to the truck and say, man, what must I do to be saved? It's so important, because it's not me, it's Christ in me. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, now you're the light. I'm his representative. He saw something in me that he wanted. And God moved through me because I was available. You can't live for God until you're available. How do you become available? Surrender. Give up. Say, you know what, God, I've tried to do this thing my whole life and as long as you've been a Christian and it's not working. So now I just give up. Now, how about you teach me through your word and I'll just live the way you tell me to. It sure is. You know, the Bible's the first book that I was able to understand. I never read a book before. I went to Teen Challenge 3 years ago. I had ADHD. You know, I read chapters of books growing through high school. I used to skim through and do the reports. But I got into Teen Challenge, and for 2 months, I diligently got in that book. And in the first couple weeks, I couldn't understand anything. It was like a different language. But God said that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God, I just don't know, want to know. I don't want to know about you. I want to know who you are. Yes. I want to know who you want me to be. I just want to know. So will you open this up and teach me? Will you breathe on this word? Because flesh and blood can't reveal this to me, but you can. And the word came alive. And that's what transformed my whole life. In a 2 month period of time, bang, smack, Holy Ghost had a battle with what was in me and drove it out. But it was through his word. Hear that. We go to church and we hear a good message. You will not stay filled on this. You will not. You will not stay filled on someone else's revelation. You have to stay filled on your own revelation. You have to hear from God. Blessed are you, children of God, for my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Not flesh and blood. And then when we think as a mere man, Jesus, we have to be able to accept this, that Jesus is saying, get behind me, Satan. For you're mindful of the things of man. Now get your mind off of that and get it into my word, because my word is mighty at pulling down strongholds. Is this making sense? So I shared with them and I told him, I said, when you come to Christ, I said, you can't sell out everything. You got to give up. He goes, man, I'm just so done. I said, no, I'm telling, and I talked him out of it. You can't look, this isn't just to pray a quick prayer, go to church on Sunday. I need God today because I'm in a bad situation. This isn't just a lifesaver to pull me out of the deep end. This isn't that at all. This is to surrender everything that you are, because the way that you were doing it didn't work. And now you need him to be in charge, because he made you in his image. And it's the honor and glory that he deserves for you to give up your life, lay it down as a living sacrifice and live for him and his glory and not your own. That's so important. Is this making sense? Yeah. So he got born again. He goes, man, he goes, I'm calling you, dude. Yeah. So that's good, right? That's incredible. It's incredible. Romans 8. Thank you, Lord. This whole, it's just incredible, the whole book. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you want peace? It'd be a good idea to find out what God says. Because to think as a mere man is death. To think as a mere man, Jesus said to Simon, get behind me, Satan, because your mind is full of the things of man. So to be that minded, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Because the carnal mind is enmity, is at war against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So people that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're living for yourself, you cannot please God. If you're living for him and according to what he says, you're very pleasing to him. Why? Because you're living by the instruction manual that he's given you. And there's life in that. There's freedom. There's peace. There is like abundant life in it. There is so much life, so much more than what you're even touching on. There's so much more than what I'm even touching on. And I just cry out because we got to be hungry, because the amount of hunger that you have is the amount of God that he'll pour through your life. He's not going to reward you any more than you're hungry for. Are you satisfied with what you got? Look, it says in Proverbs, it says, to a famished man, any bitter thing is sweet. To a man that's so hungry, anything you give him is sweet. I read this thing in the John G. Lake book where he tramped on the snow for 30 miles in snowshoes. He got to his house and they didn't have any food there. He needed something to eat. So went over to his sister's house, and at the sister's house, he smelled something cooking in the oven. So he went over to the oven and it was a big corn cake, right? So man, he ate the whole thing. It was a big corn cake. Sister rolls in the door and says, he goes, oh, I got to make you something to eat. He said, oh, I ate the corn cake in the oven. John, you didn't eat that. There was cow bread. It had corn cobs and everything in it. But he was hungry, so he ate it anyway.
It was good.
It was really good. See, there's a problem here in America. We know too much and we have too much and we're too full. Well, there's an abundance of revelation. There's an abundance of the teachings of God. And we think, well, it's like a smorgasbord. No, you don't know the word till you become it. Until your life is exactly what the word says. Until you walk and your mind's no longer at war against God. And you've come into his plan and laid your own down. You're a co-laborer with God. He wants you to co-labor with him to get the job done. Jesus paid a price for you to have an inheritance, but he also paid a price that if you don't walk this out, he doesn't receive his inheritance. It's his inheritance. It's in Ephesians 1. It's his inheritance in the saints. His inheritance resides in you. And when you walk out the gospel, he receives glory for that. You actually believe what the word says. What if we actually did? What if we believe the whole word? We say we do, but you become what you believe. Right? Is this too heavy? We okay? It's really good, because if we don't get this, we're in big trouble. So the carnal mind is at war against God. God's not against the mind. He's against the unrenewed mind, because the unrenewed mind still rises up in thoughts against him. Well, I know God said this, but... buts and what ifs are devils. I can say that because I really feel that in my heart. It's really true. Yeah, well, God said he'd heal everybody, but what about? Here's how you answer it. Yeah, well, God says he'd heal anybody, but she didn't get healed. Well, if Jesus walked up on the scene and he prayed for her, would she? Yeah. Okay, then I need more of him. That's the truth. You know, I went to California to pray for a lady that had cancer a while back. She died. And I talked to, can I say this? It's okay. I talked to Richard, and he's the uncle. And I said, Richard, I said, I'm really sorry. I apologize to you. Because if I had more faith, she'd have lived. That's a heavy word. It's truth. If you don't accept that, you'll cop out. And you'll put that stuff on her. Or put that stuff on somebody else. Jesus never walked up to anybody and said, hey, you don't have enough faith, so I can't pray for you today. Ever. He never walked up to anybody and said, hey, look, God's building character in you. That's why you have this sickness. Now glorify him in it. Come on. He never said that. Ever. He never ever said to anybody, strut this sickness out because you're glorifying God. Why would God put that on his son for us to carry it today? Did you see the passion? It was messed up. Open your eyes and watch that one time with that revelation that God put everything on him for you. And keep your eyes open. Don't say, well, I can't even bear to watch it. No, watch it with your eyes wide open. Because he bore all that stuff for you and me. Not so that it would end there. So that on the day of resurrection, after the 40 days that he was with him, and he ascended to the right hand, and that great Holy Spirit was poured out. Wham! 50 days into it, and Christianity began. We could actually do what he called us to do, and that's be Christians. He gave you the Holy Spirit so you could be like him. Go to James, please. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. James 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. 15. This is wisdom. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual. What's that next word? Demonic. So watch this. This is so good because it all ties it in. It just does. When we think as a mere man with the wisdom of man, we are practicing mere atheism, practical atheism. When we think with the mind and our mind is full of the things of God, we are thinking with the wisdom of God. He's saying that the wisdom that is here is demonic, is sensual. It's five senses. It's Hebrews said that as we mature, our senses get trained to good and evil. That's what he says. But here it's saying that wisdom that does not descend from above is earthly, sensual, demonic. So when Jesus said to Peter, after he said, you've received from God flesh and blood, and that's the rock I'm going to build the church on, he said, no, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking with the wisdom of man. Your mind is not being renewed. They walked with Jesus. They like, imagine that. I can't. I just, every. Right? For real. Because it's beautiful. And Simon was the one that said, you're the Christ. You are. Yeah. Oh, God. Help me, Lord Jesus. So when we think as a mere man, we're thinking demonic. We're not thinking as God. Go back to Matthew 16 real quick. Notice how we're bouncing all over the word. It's a good place to bounce. It really is. All right. I'm going to go back to that same thing I said in 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the rock that he builds the church on is the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? When Paul went and he preached, He preached nothing but Christ and him crucified. He counted the rest as nothing. Right? Okay. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is the rock that we build the church on. Where's the church? You are the church. Right. Okay. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is so awesome because this is a revelation to me, and I hope it would be to you. Where are the gates of hell? When we think as a mere man, the gates of hell are right here. The carnal mind is a gate of hell. It's so big. We got to get this. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. You know, the word says that it's alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, right? And it's able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit. So you have your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and you have your spirit man. As you learn the word of God, and as the word of God gets in you and sticks in you, the Holy Spirit reveals it to your spirit. Your spirit boosts up your heart. That word flows up here, renews your soul, your mind. That's why the word of God can divide your soul, because it can take and it can actually separate your soul from your spirit. Your spirit man then can bubble up the word in revelation upon this rock. I'll build a church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it because the word's too strong for the gates of hell. Is this making sense? Spirit, your spirit man grabs the word. Your heart bubbles up. The word comes up, starts to renew your mind, and those gates of hell are crushed because you now take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ Jesus. This is the battle, the renewing of the mind. This is the battle because apart from this, we think as a mere man, you don't have the right to do it anymore. You've given up that right. Who here is born again? All right. You've relinquished your right to think as a mere man. You've given it up. I'm serious. So David commanded his soul to bless the Lord. We need to be doing that constantly. We need to allow the word to come and bubble up in us to crush everything that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God. Our souls, our minds need renewed. Romans 12:2. It's so important. Without that, there is no transformation. If we become a new creation and all things become new, old things have passed away. How's the old man die? Well, you're born again, but your mind needs renewed. There are people that are born again that are 55 years passed away and go to heaven, but they have to live a life of hell until they get there because they have no idea what they have. If you have no idea what you have, if you have no idea the inheritance that Jesus paid a price for you to have, and it's all in the word, when you read the Bible, it's like reading a will, a last will and testament, because it's all belonging to you. If you inherited $1 billion and you were to go to the will reading, you're going to show up. Why? Because it's money. This is so much more important than any money could ever offer you. You could have $1 billion and somebody could have an illness that's going to snuff them out. And God comes on the scene through you as a vessel yielded to his will, not yours, because then you're yielded to his will completely and you take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and you pray and that thing's crushed because of the Christ in you. Because you understand and know that the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ dwells in you and wants to crush everything through you just like it did through him. You are a cohabitation of God. You are to be God inhabited. You are to be an incarnation of the Christ. You are. He opened the door for us to be Christians. Little Christ, little anointed ones, walking around destroying hell at every step of the way. If we don't get this renewed, we think as a mere man. And we got to stop because it's killing us. It's eating the church's lunch and dinner and breakfast. It's killing us. Does this make sense? Yeah. Everything
will happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever comes in your heart, just pray. It'll be right.
Amen.
Take this. Give me that.
Yeah. It's my daddy.
It's my son.
Yes. My daughter calls him Grandpap.
Amen.
Go ahead. I want you to pray.
Yeah.
Open your hearts, please, and just receive the grace and impartation of the word that's preached. Now's the time to be very sincere and very sober in the presence of God. Amen. Go ahead. Whatever's on
Lord God, we just thank you. We just give you honor and glory. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to take this word tonight and penetrate our souls. Penetrate our minds, Lord God, to where we no longer think as a mere man, to where we think as a son and a daughter of God. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you open up the eyes of our hearts, that you open up our ears, Lord God, that have tried to hear but can't because there's demonic influence, Lord God, that's crushing us. I rebuke and command those demonic influences to bow now in Jesus' name. I command you to let these people go in Jesus' name. Soul, in Jesus' name, bless the Lord. I thank you and we worship you and give you glory and honor. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord God. In Jesus' name, every thought that would rise itself up against you, we command to get out right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, we love you and give you glory. It's all about you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Souls, bless the Lord. In Jesus' name.
Bless you, Lord. Thank you.
Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Help us live from your perspective towards everything. Lord, we love you and we give you glory and honor, Father God. Every thought, Lord God, will rise up against you. We crush right now by the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We just give you glory and honor. Stay in that place, people. Father, we thank you. We just give you honor and glory, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord God. Renewing of the mind. Renewing, Lord God. Son of God.
Bless, Lord.
Son of God. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We welcome you right now, Lord God. Every thought, Lord God, right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you more. More, Lord God. More, Father. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Lord, a hunger for your word. A hunger to seek you for who you are. A hunger for your word to be made manifest in our life, Lord God. For every thought in Jesus' name right now, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Every thought, Lord. Every thought. Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you.
Every thought. Every thought.
Thank you,
Father. Every thought in Jesus' name, Lord God, to the obedience of you. Every thought. A hunger for your word, Lord. Your word is true.
Thank you.
We thank you.
God, we thank you.
We give you glory and honor. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Thank you, God.
Flow, Holy Ghost. Holy, holy Lord. We love you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
We bless you, Lord. We surrender our life to you. It's all we can do. It's all you want. It's our whole life. Surrender to you. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. Bless him, Lord. More, Father.
Thank you.
Peace, Lord God. Peace. Spiritually minded, Lord God. Mind of Christ. Word of God, penetrate. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless you. Amen. I'm just going to take a few minutes and spring off of what Todd was saying and just lead into praying for the sick tonight because it's very important. And everything he's saying ties into our privilege to pray for the sick, okay? Go to Matthew chapter 3 real quick with me. It's about 9:15. Just going to take a couple minutes here, and we're going to pray together for the sick. When he cried out about Dale back here, you need to understand that what he's crying out is, it has nothing to do with Dale, no reflection on Dale. It's a cry that the church be hungry for more of God to crush the things that are trying to crush our brethren. So it wasn't a reflection on Dale in any way. It's a reflection on us. When Jesus' disciples came up short with the epileptic boy, he corrected him and said, bring the boy to me. And then that same Jesus told me to follow him. That's a big deal. That's incredible. So what Todd's crying out, you have to understand what he's crying out is, we ought to be growing in our love, not our knowledge, so that when our brothers and sisters are in these things, we take it personally in a sense, like through the gospel, where, wow, that's just not the will of God. We got to do something about that by faith. And a lot of times, if it's not happening to us personally, we don't take it to heart. But it's actually happening to the body of Christ when they're believers. You follow me? And we ought to really take that serious. I'm not talking about just emotion, empathy, and sentiment, and rah, because we all have to be careful of that. That's not what moves God. Faith does, the love of God. Faith works through. So you see, the love of God for Dale or anyone in a situation like we've been contending with, and we release faith and we continue to pray and we refuse to change our confession because the kingdom of God is at hand. You don't pray and say, well, if God didn't move by now, you know, I guess he's not going to move. That's the wisdom of man. That's a mere man. That's just logic. That's just human reasoning that's assessing the circumstance apart from the word. That's deception. That kind of language has infiltrated the church because there's a way that seems right to a man. But that way leads to death. And destruction. Make sense? So what Todd is crying out is very imperative. It's a message for the church. We're his sheep. We hear his voice. A stranger's we don't follow. That means we're hearing it. We're not following it. We recognize the master's voice. We don't follow the strangers. Anything that sells you short and less than the accomplishment of the blood and flesh of Jesus is a lie from hell. Okay? I pray that you be sanctified, spirit, soul, and body, till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. While we were enemies by wicked works in our minds, Colossians 1, he reconciled us and brought us through the body of his flesh to a place in God where we're holy and blameless before him. He emphasizes his flesh in Colossians 1, not even his blood, which is phenomenal to me. Because if I stand holy and blameless and I drink the blood, which forgives my sin, but I eat of the flesh through the body of his flesh, I'm presented blameless. In fact, what he's saying is the blood took away the fact that I sinned. The flesh took away the effects of that sin. Come on. We all know theologically Jesus shed his blood for the remission of my sin, but why did he have to get pummeled and beaten so badly? Because his flesh took upon himself the effects of that fall. And I stand holy and blameless as if I never fell. Yay! We ought to get that in. That's why he got so emotional and you could feel the in his heart when he was pointing to Dale. It wasn't an ounce of anything to make. I know he was. You weren't uncomfortable. I was just trying to protect everybody's heart. So y'all hear the passion crying out because we're the body of. So a person says, yeah, well, but they prayed for them and they weren't healed and da, da, da. And see, anybody can contest this word, but what do you say? We get in this word and become it. See, we can always come up with a reason why not, but wonder if we press in and get humble and see a reason why so. Let's go after the glory of God. Let's go after the yes and amen that's in Christ Jesus. And if I'm not seeing the yes and amen, let's not create a mindset. We have to be very careful in the church. We're not just standing, contesting, waiting to see the result. When we're actually called to participate and be part of that result. Do you get what we're saying? So I really appreciated his heart. He came over to me and said he really had some things burning. I just turned him loose and let him go. While he was talking, Victor said to me, I keep hearing the word repentance. What he's talking about is repentance. And Victor was hearing very clear. That's exactly what Todd's saying. The word repent, we think, means get on our knees, cry, and feel bad. That has nothing to do with repentance. Repentance means change your mind, change the way you think, turn your heart around. When they killed Jesus, and in Acts, they were cut to the heart because he said, you killed the Son of God. Imagine them standing there under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, realizing they had the blood of the Son of God on their hands. They killed the Son. They said, let his blood be upon us and our children. Now Peter's preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and he says, you killed him. And they said, men and brethren were cut to the heart. What do we do? Here's literally what Peter said. Just change your mind and wish you didn't. Come on. You go into a court of law today, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, with the law and the justice system, and a man does something, and he just snaps, and he does something, and his heart breaks, and he's totally sorry. He wishes he'd have never done it, but he did it. Who knows there's a price to pay? Who knows if you stand in that court, you could be as sorry could be, and there's nothing that changes the price you have to pay if they know you're guilty. But the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you're standing there and you did it. You did it. But your heart's so sorry, your heart's changed. You're not the person that did it in the sight of God. And what God says is, oh, that's cool. You're not the one that did it. If what I'm saying is true, which it's so scriptural, how can we be judged for sin when a man truly comes to him and is sorry for his sin? Mercy triumphs over judgment. And sin shall have no dominion over you. The law of the Spirit of life through Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Why? Oh my God, our sin killed the Son of God. I wish I never sinned and lived a life worthy of his death. So you turn your heart and change your mind. So on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that, all God said to him was, when they said, what do we do? Just change your mind and wish you didn't, and everything will be good. Then you be baptized for the remission of your sin. Now, how good of a deal is that? Could you imagine going into a court and you just snapped and you did something you should have never done? And you say to the judge, yeah, I did it, man. I'm really sorry. You're what, sir? Oh, I'm really sorry. I wish I'd never done it. My God, if I could go back, I'd do it over again, but I can't. And I guess now I have to reap what I sow, and I'm willing to pay that price. Well, sir, I can hear your heart's really sincere and you wish you wouldn't have done it. So I tell you what, just go free. There'd be such an uproar and the papers would go crazy and the families involved would be ready to kill and take things into their own hands because of man's justice. And that reason right there, that mentality is why we have such a hard time receiving his love and mercy. None of us want to pay hell, but we almost feel like there ought to be hell to pay. And I'm telling you, I'm so glad life's not fair. I heard a preacher say once, if you want fair, just go to hell because that's what you deserve. Whoa, that's pretty heavy preaching. Hey, I didn't say that. The preacher said that I heard.
Well, anybody look at me like that?
I got to read this and be done. I told you I'd be short and I just want to stick to it. I was trying to get done by 9, not to constrain the Holy Ghost because we want to pray for the people. Very simply, what Victor leaned over and said when Todd was pouring out his heart, Matthew 3, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and look what he proclaimed and look what he decreed. This is the kickoff. This is the kickoff of a New Testament and covenant. This was the proclamation that changed everything. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, which means it's here. Okay, now catch this. Wouldn't it be something if you were born in the Garden of Eden, never heard a stranger's voice, and all you ever knew was God in his presence? Oh my gosh. The total opposite has happened. Man fell and we were born into Adam in the fall of man. And in our mother's womb, we were formed in iniquity in our mother's womb. The Bible says that. Yeah. So we were born into sin. And the total opposite occurred. All we ever knew was the enemy and his voice, his thoughts, his mind. That's why every one of us needs to be born again. And when you get born again, just what he's crying out, put off the old man, put on the new, being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And start seeing like God sees. You get it? Repent, guys. Because now my kingdom's come and all of a sudden Jesus is manifested. Jesus is the what? The way to what? Bingo. He's the way to the Father. There's no man that comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. Do you hear the heart of God in sending Jesus? He wants his kids back. And he wants it the way it was from the beginning. And he's saying, here's the way back to me. Here's the truth about me. Here's the life of me. And in Christ, we go to the Father. Yay. Come on. As if we never sinned. Woo! Come on, that's huge. I'm telling you, a lot of the church refuses to embrace that. And we still talk about sin, our sin and our weakness and how we'll never be perfect. And boy, you know, God just, I guess he tolerates me or whatever we think. No, he loves you and he loves me. And he loved. Today, you were just saying about singing that song. Today, I was just driving in my truck and I was just thinking about the Lord. And that's about how I felt. I was just thinking about the Lord. And I said, I really love you. I just said it out loud in my truck, out of my heart. And as soon as I said it, the holy presence of God came down over me. I mean, I'm like, yeah. And I was like, God, thanks for loving me too. I already knew you did. That's how I love you, because you first loved me. You know, we got this thing going on. It's so good. It's relationship. Did you hear him cry it out? Comes through a renewed mind. If your mind's not renewed and you're not thinking free from sin, you won't just say, I love you, Jesus. You'll be more concerned about, does he love me? Is he for me? Can he show me favor? Am I in this jam because my life's a mess? And you'll turn into works and striving and struggle and be depressed. If anybody's living that way, just stop. Right now is a good time. Is it that simple? Yep. Yep. Somebody on the phone today said to me, man, I just need to start getting on track and work at this and that. And I said, no, it's as simple as right now. Just change your mind and say, whoa. I've been living outside the will of God. I've been living outside the thoughts of God. I've been living outside the ways of God. What a better time to change that than right now. Why do we make things so complicated? Now's the time. Now's the day. Okay. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. That means it's here. Nicodemus came. You heard he preached it. He said, man, we know you're from God, because nobody could. He didn't say. He said, nobody can do the things you do unless God's with him. Jesus said, most assuredly, I tell you this, unless a man is born again. He didn't even acknowledge what he said. His answer is like, he's so full of a purpose. He says, most assuredly, I tell you, unless a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Reverse that. What's he saying? If a man is born again, he will see the kingdom of God. So then he tells his disciples, their first command, commission, I mean, go preach saying, the kingdom of God is here. It's so big, righteousness, renewing your mind and getting to be in him where you're his sheep hearing his voice and you're not following a stranger's ever. That's casting down those strongholds through him, okay? Watch this. Go preach saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick. You can never separate forgiveness of sin and the healing of your body. It's directly connected. Directly connected. What he's saying is, go preach saying the kingdom of God's here. If God didn't forgive us, his kingdom wouldn't have come. If God didn't love us, his kingdom wouldn't be here. For God so that he gave his own. We turn that into theology and say, well, he hung on the cross for the remission of my sin. And miss the whole personal side of his love for me, the value he has for me, the purpose and destiny he has for me. God's really in love with me. And so is Jesus, or he wouldn't have came and put himself on a cross and lay down his life so I could live. God wants me to live, and he wants you to live too. Come on, we better start thinking like the love of God thinks. Go tell him the kingdom of God is here. And the next, very next thing he said is, heal the sick. In Luke 10, he said, go heal the sick and then tell them, hey, the kingdom's here. That's why you're healed. That's what he's saying. He says to the paralytic, take heart. Your sins are, they argue and bicker. He says, what's easier to say? He says, to show you that I have the power to forgive sin, be healed. Get up and walk. Connecting the two. You have to understand this. If you're going through a trial, you're going through sickness tonight, the body of Christ that's going to pray for the sick, let's understand this. There's one reason people are healed. It's not because you prayed right. It's not because you prayed aggressive enough. It's not because of you or me. It's because we entered into faith and believe the love of God for that person and what he says about their situation. The only reason people are healed is because Jesus is Lord and he loves you and paid the price. They're not healed because you prayed right. They're healed because you believe he wants them healed. They're healed because you see the love of the Father through Jesus. And all we do is represent that truth in love, and faith works through love, and we give them Jesus. You get it? Boy, that sure takes the pressure off. It's all him. We're the body of... we're not just the body of believers. We believe because of him. We're in Christ. We're the body of Christ. So he's blessed us to represent him. It's all about the kingdom's come. God's forgiven. If he's forgiven, he's healed. If he's healed, he's forgiven because he shed his blood and his body was given. You get it? So I'm going to reiterate that. The blood was given to remove the fact that we sinned. The body was given to take away the effects of that sin. Be healed in Jesus' name. You get it? Peter said, don't you look at us and marvel as if in our power of righteousness this man's whole before you, Acts 3. He said, it's because of faith through his name, faith in his name, that this man is well. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord over everything. And as we grow in that revelation, we'll see more of that manifestation of Lordship. So we never back off of situations that have perplexed us. We don't rewrite the book. We don't come up with sayings that make us feel better about what we feel bad about. We stay dead and submitted to truth so truth can manifest and bring freedom. And we continue in the Word because the Word makes us free. You get it? Because it's never about us. It's about manifesting him. It's not about your frustration, discouragement, disappointment, and how you feel. If you live by how you feel, you'll cross over to what he's preaching. And you'll cross over into the mind of darkness. Did you get that gateway thing? Man, that gate opens and it's the gateway. It leads right into darkness. You want to back that up with another scripture? If your eye is single, your whole body's flooded with light. But if your eye is not single, if it's unhealthy and it's multiple choice and has other ways to think, your whole body is flooded with darkness. Watch this. And if the light in you, which means you're created for light, that's your destiny, that's your creative value, that's why it says it that way. If the light in you is darkness, then just how great is the darkness? What it's saying is just how twisted and deceived is your view. Because that determines the level of darkness. Whew. That's heavy. I like that it says, if the light in you is darkness, that means I'm called to the light. He called me out of darkness and translated me into the marvelous light. Okay? So let's repent tonight because the kingdom of God's at hand. Let's change our minds and let's know that Jesus came not to just take away sin, but the fruit and effects of sin and to crush the voice of sin in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
So that we stand holy and blameless before our God. Do you know why it's important to think that aggressive and passionately and continue to teach it? Because it's so easy to turn self-centered in our crisis that we pray from the position of what we're going through instead of what he went through. We pray from the position of fear instead of faith. We pray from a position of crisis instead of the Christ, from problem instead of promise. Because we lose our identity and we let our identity become what we're going through instead of our identity become what he went through. The reason I'm going to pray for anybody tonight that's sick is because I see what God says about their situation, not because they're in trouble. There's a big difference there. Did you just hear what I'm saying? See, I can feel it kind of stopped in the atmosphere. I kind of got a couple people. I'm going to have to say that again. The reason I'm going to pray for the sick tonight, or you ought to be praying for the sick tonight, is not because of the problem they're going through, but because of what God says about that problem through his son. You want to pray from the position of God and covenant and promise, because faith works through love. Faith doesn't work through need. Fear works through need. And then all you do is pray the prayer of fear and despair and worry and wonder. And you get hurt if you don't see the answer, and you could even get mad at God in that mindset. And he's the one that sent his innocent son for your guilty life. How deceived is that if you're mad at God? We're praying for people from the position of promise and what God says about it. Then even our emotions and our feelings get channeled through that love and that faith. And if we do get aggressive, it's against the enemy because we war not against flesh and blood. I don't know about you, but there's times I felt real aggressive praying for people, and there's times I feel real broken and tender and sweet, and I just like living by the Spirit. But them times you feel real aggressive, it's just as fun as when you're feeling sweet, because it's not against people. Listen, I had a thing growing in my body that shouldn't have been in my body, and I identified it as a trespasser because of what God's word says. And I didn't cry out in fear, and I didn't grab the internet and look up the web medic and freak myself out with symptoms. I said, you listen to me. I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. You get out of my body because you're not the will of God. And you will bow to the blood of Jesus. I curse you through the blood and stripes of King Jesus. Get out of me. And I didn't check that thing for 5 days. You know why? Because fear does that stuff. I'm not telling you to do what I did. I was in a place to do this. I'm still in a place to do it. I'm not telling you to follow what I did. You can't do that and bite your lip and hope it works. You do it because Jesus is Lord in your heart. So for 5 days, I wasn't supposed to check it. I just preached Jesus and prayed for the sick and lived in freedom. And after 5 days, I checked it and it felt like it was real small, but it was still there. And I prayed and I talked to it exactly the way I did 5 days before. I didn't wipe my brow and go, whew, prayer's working. It's a trespasser. You have no right in my flesh. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I command you and adjure you, get out of me right now. Jesus never told us to cry out to him in despair. He told us, if we have faith, we will say to the mountain, you move. And the mountain will what? And then what'd he say? And nothing. And any other situation here. This is the word. This ought to encourage our hearts, people. And nothing shall be impossible for you. For who? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for truth. We just thank you that we continue in it and we know it, and truth makes us free. God, I thank you for healing every sickness, every disease. through the blood and stripes of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, for putting a sincerity, a motivation, and a hunger in us like we've never had before. God, in light of what Todd shared tonight, let there be discernment and protection in the soul of every person in this place. Let your conviction burn bright. And Lord God, in the way of healing and restoration and deliverance of our being, spirit, soul, and body, let us be clearer and more precise than ever before, because Jesus is Lord. Thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to know who came for prayer tonight specifically. You got sickness going on in your body. This is what we do. Todd and I aren't going to line up and Pastor Don and pray for y'all. We're turning the church loose in this truth because we need to act in love and act on the message, because we all are believers. It's a body of believers, and we want to release people to live in that belief and in that faith. So we open up the altars for the sick, and we want you to surround and be healed. It's very simple. Watch this. Be healed in Jesus' name. Sickness and pain, you come out of them in the name of Jesus. It's that simple. You pray that. You could really get in the way. If you get to, now God, there's some of you prepared. God will lead you a certain way. You pray certain things, but don't you find yourself, and you can always check yourself. Don't you find yourself bumping into what you feel is a tough one and then trying to pull out your best prayer because you've already way messed up. Serious? Because it's not about your best prayer. It's about Jesus being Lord, raising from the dead, sitting at the right hand of Almighty God, triumphant. Yeah. Okay? Anybody sickness? I want to see who you are. Who came for prayer tonight? I know there's some folks. If you can, I want you to make your way up here. We're going to surround you and love you and pray. Can we pray for your knee tonight? You can stay over there in the aisle if you want. We'll come and get you.